Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 4 of the study of 2 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Kings 18, 1 through 16. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray on Thursdays for the nation of Venezuela. Lord, I ask that you would heal the nation of Venezuela. Lord, would you bring an end to the violence and the division there, God? I ask you to bring freedom to the people. Would you bring prosperity back to the people? And would you let your gospel run forth with power? Raise up laborers, messengers for the gospel in Venezuela. And you give them revival and awakening. And Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV as always. This is 2 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 1. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. All right, so to pause right there, this is a beautiful introduction. Hezekiah is one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. David, of course, is the benchmark all other kings were judged by, in the same way that for the northern kingdom of Israel, Jeroboam is the negative stereotype that all kings are judged by. David, for the southern kingdom of Judah, is the standard by which everyone is judged. And Hezekiah is really the only one that comes close to measuring up. As we're going to read, you can also read in 2 Chronicles even more, Hezekiah really did measure up. His heart was for the Lord. Unfortunately for him, he inherited quite a bit of trouble. He has inherited generations of people whose hearts have been cold to the Lord. So everything that's going to happen in his lifetime is not necessarily just up to him or just about him, but his heart is completely for the Lord. So much so that he's even willing to let go of an item like the staff of Moses, the one that the snake was wrapped around. If you remember, if you're not familiar with that story in the book of Exodus, as the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, they very quickly turned their hearts away from the Lord. And the Lord sent a plague of poisonous snakes among them that were biting them and killing them. And they cried out to the Lord. And so the Lord told Moses, make a bronze staff with a snake wrapped around it and put it up somewhere very high so that everyone can look up to it and be saved. And the point was that they would know that they were looking up toward the Lord, up toward the heavens, but they're looking at this snake, understanding what it was that they were crying out for. And when they would do that, the Lord would heal them. It wasn't because of the snake. It was because of the Lord healing them. And they understood that. But that little heirloom has stuck around. Even David did not get rid of it. It was, people burn incense to it, even in the time of David. So Hezekiah goes ninja style on every wicked thing in Israel, including the sacred cows, if you will, of Israel's history. I mean, this artifact, it's a powerful statement of God's salvation to Israel. And just like Gideon's ephod, it's something that was set up and eventually led people away because they stopped worshiping the God behind it, the whole reason for it. In Hezekiah, is not intimidated by anything that would keep the people away from serving the Lord. He gets rid of even this. This thing was so powerful. This one symbol, we still use it today to mark everything medical. Most people are familiar with the symbol of the caduceus. It's a staff with two snakes wrapped around it. And the caduceus actually has nothing to do with medicine. The reason that the caduceus is used, it was an army officer was in charge of coming up with a logo for the Army Medical Corps, and he mistakenly identified the caduceus as the Asclepius, which was a Greek god of healing, which used, interestingly enough, a bronze staff with a snake wrapped, one single snake wrapped around it, just like Moses's. And when you go back, and one of the temples of Asclepius was in Pergamum, there were several others, but they all kind of popped up around the time that this staff here starts to disappear from the Jewish world. It starts to enter the Greek mythology as a staff of healing. So many medical societies have actually gone back and now use the staff of Asclepius, which is exactly the same thing as the staff of Moses. It actually began to be worshipped throughout the ancient world, even in pantheistic communities. And here Hezekiah sees that and he gets rid of it. Nothing that would take people away from worshiping the Lord, even something that was a memory of something good, it's not worth keeping around. That is a powerful, powerful lesson from Hezekiah. It's something we can definitely include in our lives today. It does not matter what has happened to us in the past. If it's something we worship or something that keeps us away from the Lord, it has to go. Let's continue on. Verse 5. Hezekiah trusted the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. I love that statement. There was no one like him among all the other kings of Judah, either before him or after him. This to me makes it sound like his heart was right up there with David's and maybe even more. What a wonderful thing to have said about you in Scripture. May the annals of the courts of heaven, the books that our names are written in, our names are not written in the Bible, but our names are written in books in heaven. Revelation makes that very clear. May the books written about us in heaven say such things about us. May we choose to live our lives in such a way that the books in heaven that are written about us say something similar to Hezekiah. Verse 9. In King Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, marched against Samaria and laid siege to it. At the end of 3 years, the Assyrians took it. I just want to pause there again, like I said yesterday or the other day when we were reading this. 3 years. This is unfathomable. And this is the king that Hezekiah has now rebelled against and is not paying tribute to anymore. Continuing on. So Samaria was captured in Hezekiah's sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. The king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them in Hala, in Gozan, on the Habor River, and in the towns of the Medes. This happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant. All that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, they neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. Now I want to pause there. This little section right here, verse 11 through 12, this is completely repeating what was said in chapter 17 to a greater extent. And I always pause. It always catches my eye when the Bible repeats itself. The Lord has chosen that these words, the Bible may look thick to you, but when you think of the God of eternity past, the eternity to come, and the words that he has to speak, the one who spoke all of the universe into existence with a word. When you think of the words that God has to say, this little book that we have, the Bible, as daunting as it may seem to you, it's little, it's small in the eyes of eternity. And so there are no wasted words in it. This God who spoke everything into being, he doesn't waste words. And so when something like this is repeated, it's important. And our author here wants us to take note. He is juxtaposing King Hezekiah to the nation of Israel. In the same passage here, he's reiterating what he said in the last chapter, and he's putting it right up next to King Hezekiah as a mirror to look at both of them through. The nation of Israel turned away from all the laws and the decrees that he gave to them through Moses, yet Hezekiah chose to follow them all. The Lord gave Hezekiah prosperity and victory in everything that he did, and he deported the nation of Israel to a foreign land, all based on the law of Moses, all based on the commands that the Lord had given them, all based on obedience. That's an important point that the author is trying to make for us. Verse 13, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me and I will pay whatever you demand of me. The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him, and that's hundreds of pounds of each, basically, by the way. So it's lots and lots of money. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. So this is a national crisis. This is a tremendous amount of money that Hezekiah has to produce. This is a big deal. This is a very big national tragedy. I mean, we see that he's already captured all of the fortified cities, all the walled cities of Judah besides Jerusalem. So this is a big deal. This is a moment of crisis. Even though Hezekiah had turned his heart completely to the Lord, he's still a victim of the nation that he's been born into and the moment of time that he's been born into it. And sometimes in the midst of these situations, when the situations are dire, the Lord raises up just the leader, not the leader that the nation deserves, because Judah had turned its heart away. In the last chapter, we read that Judah had turned its heart away from the Lord. So this is not the leader that Judah deserves, but it's the leader that the Lord has given them out of his grace and mercy. But even amidst that, there's still going to be trouble. Verse 16, at this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of the Lord, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. He's literally having to find gold and valuables anywhere he can, including the gold that was put on the doors of the temple that he put there. This is a desperate, desperate time. Even though his heart is completely for the Lord is going to allow him and Judah to know trouble because they know that they've been unfaithful. The Lord is going to stand up for them, though. The trouble is going to get worse, and the Lord is going to come through in amazing, amazing power. I love the story we get to talk about tomorrow. Until then, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.